Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your people, God. Thank you for your people, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and we give you glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Clap your hands and you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah to your name, Jesus. Amen. Once again, celebrate my children. So awesome. Thank God for them. Oh, man. I honor God for being here once more and again. Thank him for another opportunity to share what he has shared with me. We've talked about how to die empty and to live on purpose. So our first week we talked about, I asked you questions. I like to ask questions. I asked you a question, what is your relationship status? And I challenged you to daily upgrade your relationship with God. And hopefully throughout the weeks you've been doing that. You've been spending more time with him. You've been, last week I challenged you to try to lose bad habits, try to gain good habits. So we talked about that. Last week also we talked about, I asked you what's on your mind. And we talked about how we should take authority over our thoughts. Because it's our thoughts that shapes our attitude and what we say and what we do. So we need to take authority over our thoughts and we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Amen? Like the Bible tells us too. So this week, my question to you is, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, what are you saying? Look at somebody else and say, what are you saying? And so our keynote scripture is found in Proverbs 18 and 21. It's a very familiar scripture. It simply reads as such. I'm reading the King James Version. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So I need you to talk to your neighbor again. Say, neighbor, death and life is in your mouth. Okay, so are you speaking defeat or are you not speaking life? If you find yourself defeated, are you speaking defeat or are you not speaking life? If death and life is in your mouth, are you speaking things that says, I'm sick and tired of that. I can't do it. I'll never da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm slow. I used to say that all the time. I had to break myself out of that. I used to always say, my brain is slow. But I had to stop saying that. I'm slow. I'm dumb. What are you speaking? Are you defeated because of what you speak, or are you defeated because of what you aren't speaking? Because you should be speaking life. I'm victorious. I'm the head and not the tail. I can do this. I can get through this. I am better than that. So, what are you speaking? Turn with me to Exodus, the 4th chapter, verses 11 and 12. Talking about speaking defeat. Exodus, the 4th chapter, verses 11 and 12. Sometimes we speak defeat, we speak inadequacy, we speak out of our intimidation. So the Bible declares, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Oh, my God. I said, wow, Lord, you speaking. Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. How are we going to tell God what we are incapable of when he created us? I don't care how inferior you feel. I don't care what you don't have. It's not even about your ability, but it's about your availability. So, and that displeases God. And if you continue to read, it said God was angry with Moses. Because then again he came and said, I said, God, I can't do it. Are you kidding me? So it really displeases God when we speak self-deprecating things. Amen? Amen. We should not speak ill or defeat to others. Child, she crazy. You crazy. You ain't gonna ever learn, are you? You just dumb. You dumb. How many times I told you dumb? Ephesians 4:29 reads, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We're so busy tearing people down with our mouths. We should be building each other up. Tell your neighbor, death and life is in your mouth. Communication. It is of our nature to communicate with each other through speaking. If you ever stop by someone's home who lives alone, especially an older person, you look up and you've been there for 3 hours. Anybody ever? Yes, because we were created to communicate. They like to talk, so make sure you got some time. Amen. And even the ultimate punishment in jail is solitary confinement, because we were created to communicate. So if they want to punish somebody, they put them all by themselves. So when, and even when God created man, he said it is not good for man to be alone. It's not good. So we were here to communicate. So in our communication, make sure that we are speaking words of life, speaking words of affirmation, and building up and not tearing each other down. A word of encouragement. You'd be surprised what an encouraging word can do for someone. Child, them shoes is nice. That's a new color. I like it. I'm not talking about when you're lying to folk. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about when you just need something to say, so you just create something. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, because us ladies, you know, we try something new. We just be in the mirror like, oh, my goodness, I don't even know if this. But if somebody said, oh, I like that, whew, that just saved the day for us. Amen? So a word of encouragement. You'd be surprised how much you can encourage someone. And even with me being in the music ministry, sometimes I don't know, I don't get a response of how something, a song blessed someone or the choir blessed someone until somebody comes up and tell me. And then at that moment, I'm relieved. I'm like, thank you, God. That one person that came, you know, did something like to me, you know. So, and not just that, anything. You know you did a good job at work and you know, you didn't get any kind of acknowledgement from anybody, but if your boss said, I really appreciate the work that you put into this, you know, so a word of encouragement is good. Don't hesitate to share an encouraging word with someone, a compliment, a thank you, or whatever. So I want you to take a moment right now and to think, before you speak, think of something that you can say to your neighbor that is an encouraging word. Don't make nothing up, saints. Y'all know y'all like to talk in church. Amen. Amen. Did that put a smile on your face? It's something about a smile, something that a smile does as well. That does something for you too. Amen. So you feel better about yourself now? So, but even as we go through our days, don't hesitate to just compliment somebody or just say thank you or whatever, or be extra nice. I know it's hard. I used to have a problem when I say good morning to people and they don't say good morning to me. I'm all happy and smiling and got Jesus joy and sun is shining and I'm like, good morning. And they say nothing. I used to say it twice because I'm like, maybe they ain't hear me. Good morning. No, they still. You can't even let that person get your day down. You got to keep it moving and say, you know what? I'm going to just pray for them. And just keep it moving. You pull up at a fast food restaurant, they don't even say, they're not even polite. No customer service skills. How did you get this job? You know what I'm saying? You pull up, they just hand you the stuff. I used to have a problem with that. But I had to realize that, you know, you just got to pray for people. They're just not there. So talking about words of encouragement, even today I was at the gym, and I have a trainer, praise God. And so, you know, I was doing my little routine, just getting hard, just like Jesus. But his words of encouragement, he was like, you're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. Then he said, 15 seconds. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. And then he said, 10 seconds. I was like, oh, I can do this. 5 more seconds. What? I killed it. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like the hardest part is not knowing how long you got. But when he starts saying, you're doing a good job, you can get through this. Just those words of encouragement. I mean, because right before he said anything, I thought I just can't get through it. How many more times I got to do this? But just his words of encouragement. And you could do the same thing for somebody else. Amen? Encouragement. Sometimes you got to tell yourself, girl, you got this. You can do it. You were born to do this. You're beautiful. God is with you. Sir, men too. I'm a girl, so I was just, you know, talk to myself. But whatever it is, you know, I got this. I can get through this. There's nothing too hard for God, and he's with me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You know, and I'm not even saying it in your mind. It's something that happens when you hear it. Something else happens when you hear it. So you got to open up your mouth and say it because it does something different for you. Death and life is in your mouth. Okay, here's one that I know we all think and pray before you speak, respond, or commit to doing certain things. That response thing is something else because our reflexes and our reactions at times to what people do or say to us can really change the whole atmosphere and allow us to lose our salvation if we let it. If there is such a thing, no, that's how people put it. But think and pray before you speak. And the scripture for this is Ecclesiastes 5:2. Could somebody read that for me? Because before you know it, you will find yourself apologizing for things that you shouldn't have said. Sometimes we react and respond in our emotions and get us in a lot of trouble. Ecclesiastes 5:2. Don't be quick with your mouth. Don't be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. There it is. Let your words be few. Don't be quick. Another scripture says, slow to anger. Yes, that's the word. So we can't respond out of our emotions. We can't respond out of our flesh. We can't respond that way. Stop, pray, think, pray, and then respond. Even when we don't know how to handle situations, think, pray, and then respond. Even if you're in a meeting and you feel cornered, you feel like your boss is just coming at your neck, or your team is coming at your neck, or a coworker is coming at your neck, backing you in the corner, pause and pray. And I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. As long as you don't get in your feelings and get an attitude, because, you know, all down on the inside, you, all of this, I don't know why. Oh, stop. Sometimes you got to take a deep breath and pray before you respond. Okay? What are we speaking over our kids? Knucklehead, get over here. People call their kids, hey, Stanky. Really? What are we calling them? What do we name our kids? What does their names mean? God had to change some people's names in the Bible. So if y'all plan on having kids, make sure y'all pray about what y'all want to name y'all kids. Look at somebody say, speak life. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit. I'm not going to dwell here long, but I'm going to talk a little bit about gossiping. Proverbs 20:19. Can somebody read that for me? Uh-huh. Find nobody better to read that. Go ahead. He read that thing right. Avoid anybody who talk too much. And you are also a part of gossip if you're listening. You ain't got to say one word, but you're listening. You're a part of the gossiping crew. I'm not going to stay there long. I think we're all guilty. Well, I'll speak for myself. I know I'm guilty of gossiping. And we view it as not being a sin because we're just talking. Just talking and just, you know, having a conversation. But some of us need to really think about that thing. Gossip is one of the sins that most people commit. I would just put it like that. And don't consider it a sin. So, I feel you, God. I hear you, God. I hear you. I'm going to say what he told me to say. That's something that needs to be broken in us. In order for you to get help, you have to first admit you have a problem. You ain't going to get no help if you can't. The Bible said, worship him in spirit and in truth. Got to be true about where you are, or what you do, or what displeases God. I know it hurt. It hurt me first. I had to eat it first. A situation happened last week in the music community, and I had to repent. I had to repent because I made a comment in this huge conversation. I had to go back and repent and delete my comment because it's gossip. It's gossip. And I couldn't understand how people were so free. The lips were so loose about this situation, about this person, and nobody felt convicted or like, oh my goodness, because it was just all open, it's just out. And I had to remove myself from the situation, repent, and delete anything that I said. And I probably will go back and apologize to the person if the Lord leads me to do such. But be very careful, because you can slip into it easily. Before you know it, you done said something, or you done heard something, or you done told somebody else what somebody told you. Gossip. Don't use your lips to gossip. And we're talking about death and life and the power of the tongue. Okay. 1 Peter 3:10 says, "For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." Lies. I'm going to read that again. "For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." And that's 1 Peter 3:10. We got to learn to speak to our situation. Sometimes we're so busy telling God about our situations when we need to tell our situations about our God. Yeah, 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 yeah. Telling God about our problems when we need to tell our problems about our God. Mark 11:23. I don't have that here. Can somebody get that? That's the scripture that talks about speaking to your mountain. If you have the faith, the size of the mustard seed, you can speak to your mountain. Amen. But you have to speak it without doubt in your heart. Faith and no doubt. And then you can speak to your situations. Okay. I'm going to go to speak up and speak out. What frustrates us can indicate what we are supposed to speak out against or do something about. And that can indicate to us or be a clue to what our purpose is. I'm going to say it again. What get on your nerves, what frustrates you, what tick you off can be an indication of what you're supposed to speak up against. Martin Luther King, he didn't like inequality. He stood up, he spoke. He did something about it. That was his purpose. Speak up and speak out. What is that for you? What are you supposed to speak out against? What are you, you know, maybe you're supposed to be a politician. I don't know. What are you supposed to do? But it could be an indication. Whatever frustrates you can be an indication of what you're supposed to do or change or what your purpose is. Amen? Now I want to talk about when God speaks. God will speak directly to us. How many people believe that God will speak directly to us? Amen, amen. I'm so glad that I'm in a church that knows that, because some people think that God don't speak anymore. I'm so glad. But we can hear God through his word, but as a result of a strong relationship, we can hear God directly. And the closer that we get to him, the more clearer it becomes and the more often that he speaks to us. So if we're not hearing God, we got to get closer. If Reverend Pyfrom said something to me, just Reverend Pyfrom, just say something. It don't have to be loud. Just say anything. Go ahead. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. I don't hear what she's saying because I'm over here talking about something else, doing something else. So maybe I got to get closer to her so that I can hear her clearly. So if you find yourself you're not hearing from God regularly, get closer. Look, somebody say get closer. Sometimes he does speak, but our life is too loud. We got too much going on. It's not that he's not talking. It's just a whole lot going on in your life. You gotta get by yourself, get away from some stuff, and sit in solitude and really hear, what are you saying, God? P, people in your life is too loud. Too many distractions. It's not that he's not speaking. So sometimes that's what we got to do. I want to talk about when God speaks. He spoke to Sarah, who was barren. Something that sounded completely crazy. Her husband laughed. And she bore a child at 90 years old. So even just that story, we should not find it surprising if God tells you to do something that's crazy or that's unconventional or that seems out of your comfort zone, if he spoke that. He spoke to David, who was a kid, and told him that he would conquer the giant. And that's in 1 Samuel 23, 3 through 4. He spoke to him. David asked, and he spoke to him. He said, "You will defeat the giant." So I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. When God speaks, he does things that'll blow your mind. He spoke to Joseph, Mary's husband. If he had any type of questions about, did this young girl cheat on me? Because sure enough, she's pregnant. She sure is pregnant, Jesus, Lord. And I know that we didn't, Jesus or God at that time. So he'll clear up some secrets that you don't have access to. And it'll cause you to not accuse people. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the revealer of all things. So I don't even care what people say to you. I don't care what the information that they keep from you. Pray about it. You ain't even got to go through no changes and all of this stuff. Just pray about it, because the Holy Spirit will tell you. He'll clear up some scandals and all of that stuff. Anything you had in your mind, all you got to do is ask the Holy Spirit. That's when God speaks. I'm talking about when God speaks. He spoke to Gideon, who was a coward, and said, "You are a mighty man of valor." God will speak to the real you, and not what people see, not what people say, not what people think about you. He will speak to the real you because he created you, so he knows you. Even before you can even realize who you are, he know what he put on the inside of you, and he know who you are. And I'm so glad he don't deal with us just from where we are. But he deals with us because he knows who we are. Because if he dealt with us from where we were, we would have canceled our destiny out. That's right. We would have canceled ourselves out. Jesus! Oh, God. The stuff that we got our own self into. But he says, no, I know who you are. You are more than a conqueror. Even when we act like we're not, he deals with us from who we are. I was talking about, this is probably a little bit off the subject, but I was talking about the story of Jonah, and I probably should have read some of the story, but it's crazy how Jonah was told to do something that he did not do, right? We all know the story. Told to do something that he did not do. So then he got ate by the whale. And the whale, I believe, spit him out in the place where he was supposed to go. Don't let God have to make you do what he wants you to do. I'm sure Jonah thought that it was the end of the story when he got ate by the whale. No, you can't get out that easy, Jonah. You still got to do it. He had no choice but to do what God called him to do. He tried to run. How many of us running from stuff? Don't let God have to make you do it. Don't resist. Don't fight against him. It's better when you just yield. It's easier when you just yield. Think of a person who's drowning. If somebody's there to save you, just yield to that help instead of fighting against it. Jonah was a punk. And he still had to. Okay. Moving on. Let me see. Where do I go after this? Okay. Talking about what you say out your mouth. I'm coming to my clothes. Release. Look at somebody say, release a sound of praise. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. Your praise is your weapon. Okay. So I'm going to read this story. It's not in here. Okay. Acts, the 16th chapter, starting at the 23rd verse. 16th chapter, Acts 16, 23, yes. After they, and this is the story of Paul and Silas. So after they had been severely flogged, beaten pretty much, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. After midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners was listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains were loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's where we get that whole scripture from. That whole phrase from, what must I do to be saved? So you mean to tell me Paul and Silas was locked in jail? They were beaten, so they probably felt defeated. They never once complained. They never once cursed God. Because of their relationship with God, their commitment to God, their yielded heart to God, they decided to pray and praise God and sing. They had an earthquake praise on the inside of them. Wow. Their praise and their praise caused chains to be broken. You may have locked my hands, you may have locked my feet, but you did not muzzle my tongue. Do you understand what praise does for your situation? Do you understand that you can literally have chains fall off of your life, of your situation, if you would just open up your mouth and release a sound of praise? Do you know who will be free around you? Do you know who will be saved around you if you just open up your mouth and release a praise? Even in situations of defeat, even when you feel locked down, even when you feel forsaken, they open their mouths and they begin to praise and sing God. And an earthquake from their praise. The Bible says immediately all the doors was just unlocked. What? Wow. But yet sometimes we don't want to open up our mouths. Yet sometimes we come in the house of the Lord and we wait for God to do something for us. And then we can, you know, we want to praise him. But yet we settle for being chained down. We settle for being defeated because we don't open up our mouths. We don't use the authority that God gave us in his word. We don't have to be stuck. We don't have to be hopeless. We don't have to be defeated. All we got to do is open up our mouths. And then our enemy will come running to us and asking us, what must I do to be saved? But we create our own enemies. It could be someone that we're intimidated by. It could be our own neighbor. We create our own enemies that keep us bound, that keep us restricted. So the bottom line is, your praise is your weapon. If you are stressed out, man, I can speak about this because I've been there, and scream out a praise, you will be released. You will be released. When you are going through grief, you ever praised God while you're grieving? Anybody ever tried that? I don't know how it happens, but I just feel better. A whole lot better about the situation. What? Try it. Scream out a praise. Just begin to give God praise when you're going through something like that. And watch that your situation change. You will feel much better about it. We have so much power in us, but we let things and people restrict us. I don't know, you know, sometimes what people gonna think about me, or we got too much pride, or we think that we already arrived or whatever, but we have the power in us to be better people and to change situations in our mouth. In our mouth. So at home, we should be walking around affirming things. I'm the head and not the tail. This house will live for God. Everyone in it will line up. We will reach our destiny. I will reach my destiny. I will not be distracted by the enemies and his plans. I will fulfill my destiny, will fulfill my purpose. I will not be defeated. I will not allow fear to block me or to stop me or to restrict me. I am more than a conqueror. Come on now, this is what the word tells us to do. We have to have that type of attitude. And no, it's not cocky, it's just confidence. Even Job, his wife told him to curse God. But did he once open up his mouth? You never read that he opened up his mouth and said anything against God. What? You mean to tell me his whole family, everybody gone? His flock, his wealth, everything gone. But he still knew the power in his mouth. He never complained and he never cursed God, like his wife said. So, when you feel chained, when you feel in bondage, when you feel like you're in bondage, when you're going through grief, if you ever feel forsaken, don't complain. Choose to release a sound of praise. Praise is personal. God wants your praise from you. He does not want Brother George's praise, and you cannot say, okay, well, he's going to praise him for me. Your praise don't sound like his praise. He wants you to praise him. So let's stand to our feet. And we're going to open up our mouths and we're going to give God praise. We're going to affirm, we're going to declare some things in this house, some things over your life. We're going to speak life into ourselves. And we're going to give God praise. So just begin to open up your mouth and just give him praise. God, I thank you. I thank you, God. I glorify you, God. You're worthy, God. I thank you, God, that you have the power to change anything in my life. I glorify you, God, that you gave me the victory in every situation. I thank you, God, for life, God, and not defeat, for life. I thank you, God, that you are not the God of poverty. You are the God of prosperity and wealth. I thank you, God, that your plans is what's best for me. I thank you that you plan for me to be in good health and wealth. I thank you, God. I thank you that your word and your promises will stand. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I give you glory that you have the best for me, that your plan is the best plan for my life. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, God, for strength, that you are my strength, God, that you will give me peace. I thank you that my home is peaceful. I thank you that my home is peaceful. My job is peaceful. I have peace of mind. I thank you, Jesus. There's no confusion. I thank you, God, for clarity of thought. I thank you for speaking clearly to me, God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that my children are blessed. When they go and when they come, I thank you that they are blessed. I thank you that my household is blessed. I thank you that my finances are blessed, that there will be no lack in our finances. Come on, you got to declare over your house. You have the power to speak over your house. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, for the strength to make it through another week, through another day. You have the power to speak. Speak it over your house. Speak it over your life. Hallelujah. I thank you that I will not be distracted for 2 years doing something that I'm not supposed to do. I thank you that I won't get stuck in relationships that I'm not supposed to be in. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, that I can clearly hear your voice, that I can clearly see you, hear your word and live your word and eat your word and regurgitate your word. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that I will fulfill my purpose and my destiny, that I will not be afraid, that I will not walk in fear. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Don't let it be your fault that you are defeated. Don't let it be your fault that your house is not blessed because you won't speak and you won't open up your mouth. Glory to your name. Thank you, God, for the power that you've given us. Psalms 19 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Speak life, people of God. Speak life to the dead situations, to your dead talent, your dead gifts. Speak life to those gifts that you know you're supposed to flourish, to those ideas that you gave up on, that you knew you were supposed to do something about. Speak life. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Come on, clap your hands and give him another praise. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. 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 Look at somebody and just speak life to them. Just speak a word of life to them. Something. Amen.
Life in the atmosphere, life in the atmosphere, life in the atmosphere, life speak life in the atmosphere. Life in the atmosphere. Life in the atmosphere. Life. I speak life in the atmosphere. Life in the atmosphere. Life to your home and to your life. Life in the atmosphere. Life to those who hear. Life in the atmosphere. Life, I speak life to those dead things. Life to those lost ideas. Life in the atmosphere. Life, speak life to those businesses. I speak life to your goals and dreams. Life in the atmosphere. Life, oh, I speak it to you. I speak life to you. I speak life to you. Oh, life. Hallelujah. Amen. If there's anybody here who don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sin, we welcome you to come. We're not a perfect church, but we are a striving church. We strive to live for God. We want what God has for you. We want God, what God has for us, for this church. So we just welcome you to come. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. Jesus is calling you. Because of who he is and because of what he's done and because of where he's been, you can start over again. So we welcome you to come if you're here. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If we're all saved, let's celebrate God. Hallelujah.